Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily His praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Good morning, my friend, and welcome to another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's my privilege to be with you again today. Back in 1958, a small community in northeastern Pennsylvania built a little red brick building that was to be their police department, their fire department, and their city hall. They were quite proud of the building. It was a result of sacrificial giving and careful planning on the part of the city. When the building was complete, they had a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and more than 6,000 people were there. It was to be the biggest event of that year. The problem is that within less than 2 months, they began to notice some ominous cracks on the side of this red brick building. Sometime later, it was noticed that the windows wouldn't shut all the way, and then the doors wouldn't close correctly. Eventually, the floor shifted and left ugly gaps in the floor coverings and corners. Then the roof began to leak. Within a few more months, it had to be evacuated, and to the embarrassment of the builder and the disgust of the taxpayers. Affirmed in an analysis shortly after and found that the blasts from a nearby mining area were slowly but effectively destroying the building. Down beneath the foundation, there were some small shifts and changes taking place that had caused the whole foundation to crack, and it was beginning to crumble. You couldn't feel it. You couldn't even see it on the surface. But quietly and deep down, there was a weakening. A city official finally had to write across the door of the building, condemned, not fit for public use. And ultimately, the building had to be demolished. You know, this morning, it's of vital importance that we can depend upon things in our lives. Just because something looks strong doesn't mean that it will hold up under pressure. Tomorrow, we will celebrate Memorial Day when we honor those who have given their lives serving in the military of this nation. It's right and it's good that we honor those who have given this great sacrifice and helped to keep us free. You know, really, they did their best and they gave their lives in the effort. Their sacrifice is a testimony of their faithfulness to the cause and their courage in battle. Our nation depends on soldiers who are true, faithful to the end, if their life is required. Without their resolve and without their faithful service, we stand vulnerable before our foes, a nation with crumbling foundations. Their faithfulness has been proven, and because of that, we owe them a debt of gratitude. This month, as we look at the different attributes of God, it's important for us to remember that God is faithful. He's unchanging. It doesn't matter what's going on, whatever blasting, whatever problems, whatever storms may be happening in this world, He remains the same, unchanged. It's a comfort to know that there's a God in heaven who is unchanging in His mercy, in His long-suffering, in His love. And today we're going to look at His goodness and truth. I hope you'll be able to stay with us as we look at another attribute or two of God.
Half a century ago, two simple words declared a truth that's planted in our hearts. And every time the flag is raised, we've been honored to repeat the phrase, so the world will know we are. Under God, America's been blessed. Under God, brought through every trial and test. We are sheltered by the mercy He chose to give. In privilege and abundance, this nation lives under God. Freedom has survived. Under God, we need to recognize we're dependent on His goodness, indebted to His care. Maybe more than any people, anytime or anywhere. Still our only hope and prayer is under God.
When we pledge allegiance now, it's under God. Those words have shaped the it's not allowed to acknowledge that we need Him now, but it's never been so clear. Under God, America's been blessed. Under God, brought through every trial and test. We are sheltered by the mercy chose to give. In privilege and abundance, this nation lives under God. Freedom has survived. Under God, we need to recognize we're dependent on His goodness,
indebted to His care.
Maybe more than time or anywhere, still our only hope and prayer. Under God, freedom has survived. Under God, we need to recognize
we're dependent on His goodness.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are a God that is filled with goodness and truth. Lord, in a world that is broken and experienced so much pain and chaos and turmoil, I pray, Lord, that your truth and your goodness would stand above, would be a light that points people that are lost and searching in need of you to come to you, repent of their sin, and find you to be their healer, their helper, their Savior and Lord. For this program today, Lord, I pray that you would work and help us to accomplish your will in this. Lord, for those that are listening, would you speak to their hearts and help them to hear not just simply my voice, but Jesus speaking to them even this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope that you'll be able to join us in person, but if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's lebanongmc.com.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Once again this morning, we're going to be talking about the attributes of God, and today we're going to focus on God's attributes of goodness and truth. If you remember from previous broadcasts this month, I've used Exodus chapter 34 as a guide on which attributes of God to look at. Remember, this is how God is reintroducing himself to Moses after Israel sinned and the first copy of the Ten Commandments are broken upon delivery. On this day, God's goodness and truth is evident as he has forgiven the sins of Israel and is reestablishing his covenant with them. Again, that verse that I was using is Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So today, let's look at the goodness of God first. In Psalm 25, verse 8, we read the words that the psalmist David writes down. He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Karl Barth, the famed theologian, was once asked, what is the greatest thought you ever had? His answer to the question is, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, God is good in revealing himself and his perfect will unto us. David here in Psalm 25 asks God to reveal his ways and to teach him the paths that God takes. It's a wonderful thing to know that God's will and plan can be known by man. God will be found by those who seek him. And in God we find goodness and truth bound together in his revelation of his word. Scripture gives us ample revelation of his ways and of his will. God is not out to get you, to destroy you because you made a mistake, but if you will seek after him, God will reveal himself to you and prove in every situation to be good. David recognizes this earlier in Psalm 25, in verse 5, that God is his hope of salvation. And in verse 7, David is asking for God to be merciful and to forgive his sin. God is good also in showing patience, even unto sinners. You know, God convicts hearts. In other words, he causes us to stop and think before we do something that's wrong. And he gives us feelings of guilt when we do wrong. And while the feelings are not pleasant, they're there for a redemptive purpose. God, in his goodness, is speaking to the heart of the rebel to keep them from sin and is challenging the sinner to turn from their sin and to repent of it, to be sick of it, want to let it go. As the all-knowing sovereign judge, God would be justified to bring down judgment immediately on every sinner for every sin. But the goodness of God causes him to be long-suffering as he is seeking to save the lost. My friend, this morning, God is truly good. In his epistle to the Romans, Paul addressed how quick we are to judge people and to write them off as hopeless, while God in his goodness is patient and kind in calling the sinner to repentance. Here in Romans 2, verse 4, we read the words of Paul in addressing the Romans. Despise thou the riches of his, or God's, goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is truly good. It's not just that he makes a few good choices, but every action, every decree, and every thought of God is good and represents the character of God. Now let's consider how God is abundant in truth. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, came to this earth and showed us the grace and truth of God. Grace, in that he was willing to be humbled and even die on a cross for a crime he did not commit. And truth, in that he took the full weight of the sin of the world upon himself and didn't just brush off sin as nothing. The truth is that in our sinful condition, we were broken and without hope or help before Jesus saved us. John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The fullness of God's grace we can easily see, but I wonder if we recognize how the truth of God was proven in Jesus coming to earth. Jesus came in fulfillment of prophecy, and in that he proved to be a promise-keeping God. God's words are true and dependable. Also, Jesus came to be a sacrifice because of the awfulness of sin. The wages of sin is death, and God didn't just change the rules so that his creation could be now free from the awful consequences, but God came and paid the price for the sin. C.S. Lewis had this to say in his book, The Problem of Pain. He said, "We want, in fact, not so much a father in heaven as a grandfather in heaven, a senile benevolence who, as they say, likes to see young people enjoying themselves, and whose plan for the universe was simply that it might be truly said at the end of each day, a good time was had by all." You know, I really think there's a lot of truth in what Lewis is saying. We want God to ignore our sin and let us get away with whatever we please. It reminds me of two brothers who were rich, but also very wicked, using their wealth to cover their evil ways and giving large sums of money to a church that they faithfully attended as part of their cover. A new pastor came to this church who was preaching with great zeal and courage, and before long the church had grown because spiritual needs were being met. And so the church began a building project. Shortly after the project began, one of the brothers suddenly died, and of course his funeral was to take place at the church. This pastor had by now seen through the hypocrisy of the brothers and was in a bit of a predicament when the remaining brother came to him the day before the funeral and said, "Here's an envelope with a check to cover the entire expenses of the building project. I only have one request. I want you to say that my brother was a saint." The minister promised that he would do exactly what was asked, and he went and deposited the check in the bank that very day. The next day at the funeral, the minister said with firm conviction that this man, lying here before you in his casket, was an ungodly sinner, wicked to the core, He was unfaithful to his wife, he was hot-tempered with his children, ruthless in his business, and a hypocrite in this church. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. You know, we would rather sometimes that our sins and faults not be found out. But that corruption within us causes us to stand before God guilty of crimes against him. True justice demands that the judge be righteous and make the judgments according to the evidence. And as the judge, there is nothing hidden from God. God knows the truth. He knows all the facts are plain before him. For the guilty, that's a terrifying thing, isn't it? But in the mercy of God, provision was made through the blood of Jesus that the guilty, who believe on him and repent of their sins, may be forgiven. And in that Christ took their punishment. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, in Jesus, we see the abundance of God's goodness and truth. God exemplifies the perfection of both. There's no evil to be found in him. And because God is abundant in goodness and truth, we can be forgiven. Evangelist Brownlow North once lived a very wicked life. Before one service, he received a letter that threatened to expose many of his past sins and listed them in great detail. Brownlow North went to his knees. He only had minutes before the message and before he was to preach. And so he took the letter with him to the pulpit, and he read it entirely to the crowd and admitted it was all true. He said, I'm ashamed of what I was once a part of, and I stand before you not as one who is perfect, but as one who has been forgiven. And what had been intended as the end of his ministry became a testimony of the grace of God to transform a sinful life. And much was accomplished through his ministry because of the proof of the transforming power of God. You know, my friend, that's the goodness and truth of God on display. Taking once what was ruined and broken by sin and transforming it into something brand new, a new creation in Christ Jesus, usable in the Master's hands. And so, my friend, this morning, in the light of the goodness and truth of God, how do you measure up? Are you truly the person that you try to portray before others? In looking at the attributes of God this month, I have been reminded again and again that it is only because of God's mercy, love, long-suffering, goodness, and truth that I'm able to be a child of God. Salvation is not dependent upon our righteousness or our ability, but on His. When Jesus told the disciples in John 14, 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, it's a reminder that Jesus is the door by whom we can enter into the life that God designed us for. Back in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus had said that the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. My friend, this morning, do you have that life? Do you have the life that's provided for you? God has made provision for you to know him and to live with him in heaven. You can't earn it. You must be saved. This morning, if you don't know where to start, I encourage you to begin reading in the Gospel of John and ask God to reveal himself to you. God is faithful to reveal himself to those who are seeking him. His goodness and truth will be proven. Well, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or another spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. Or you can send an email to lebgmc@gmail.com. There are a number of ways we are trying to reach out into our community. If you need a ride to church, we offer multiple buses that cover much of the city of Lebanon each Sunday morning. If you enjoy a good story, you should call our Dial a Story program. You can listen to a new story each week by calling 717-273-4561. The stories are geared for children, but really can be enjoyed by people of all ages. They share a gospel message and help to build Christian character in our children. We're a church of just ordinary people, but we found the wisdom and power of God to be sufficient for all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a blessed week.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other way to tell you but to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
God's been good.
Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I've felt His arms around me as I've faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. It's been good.